Welcome. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Today, it is our media roundtable, the day we speak with reporters about coverage of the week's news. This week marks the 50th anniversaries of Medicare and Medicaid. 46 million older adults and 9 million people with disabilities depend on Medicare for basic health care and economic security. Medicaid covers 70 million children, pregnant women, low-income adults, and people with disabilities. At a time when an overwhelming percentage of the population supports expanding Medicare, how are the media reporting on this program, and why isn't Medicaid getting more attention in the media? Today we're joined by Trudy Lieberman, longtime contributing editor to the Columbia Journalism Review and lead writer for The Second Opinion, CJR's healthcare desk. Trudy was recently on Your Call talking about her Harper's cover story, Wrong Prescription, the Failed Promise of the Affordable Care Act. Hi, Trudy. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Rose. Thank you.
Great to have you back. We're also joined by Mary Agnes Carey. She's a senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News, an editorial independent news organization at the Kaiser Family Foundation. Hi, Mary Agnes. Welcome back to the show. And we're also talking today about Turkey, which is back in the headlines. The Turkish government has agreed to join the International Coalition Against ISIS. So far, Bahrain, the United Arab Emirates, Jordan, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia have joined in or supported U.S. airstrikes in Syria against ISIS. But the Turkish government seems to be more interested in attacking the Kurdish positions of the Kurdistan Workers' Party in northern Iraq than it is going after ISIS positions. Turkey has NATO's second largest army behind the United States. Joining us to talk about coverage is Roy Gutman, an Istanbul-based correspondent for McClatchy Newspapers, where he covers Turkey and the Middle East. Hi, Roy. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Rose. Nice to be there.
It's nice to have you. So as we always do on Your Call's Media Roundtable, we start off on a positive note and give kudos to a reporter who did a good job this week. So, Trudy, why don't we start with you? What did you see this week that you thought was done well?
The piece I want to mention, I think, was published a little bit more than a week ago, and it has to do with the food inspection system in the United States. And the reporter is Helena Botmiller-Evich from Politico. And I recently did a CJR piece about her and her great reporting showing that the great food inspection bill that had been passed by Congress in 2010 has not been funded, and it doesn't seem to be any prospects for funding it. So we have a lot of food that's going uninspected in this country, and it's really rather frightening.
And I've read a lot about uninspected chicken and shrimp, for example. What did she focus on?
Well, she focused on the products that have had serious recalls recently that have resulted in deaths. One big recall happened last summer, or this year, I guess, on a creamery in the Midwest had contaminated food and lost their entire inventory. But in what I looked at in terms of the piece that I wrote praising her work was the recalls that have been announced voluntarily by companies recalling products. And you're right that there are a lot of recalls involving chicken products, millions of tons of chicken products, chicken nuggets, chicken pockets, and so forth have been recalled.
I just read recently that a million chickens are killed in this country every hour, which is just, you can't even wrap your head around that. Why is this department so underfunded, Trudy?
Well, FDA is underfunded. I want to be clear that USDA does other kinds of inspections, but chicken products often come under the purview of FDA. And what happens is that they just have not appropriated the funds to make this law work. It was a decent law that was passed 5 years ago, and it was passed with the support of the food industry. But as Helena pointed out in her story, the symbolism of the law may be what they were looking for rather than the substance of the law and tough regulation that would really clamp down on some of the food contamination that's plaguing our food supply right now.
All right. So kudos to Helena
Bott Miller Evick.
Thank you. Bott Miller Evick at Politico for writing about food inspections. And that is Trudy Lieberman, who also wrote about Helena's piece in an opinion called Food Safety Law, Good for Consumers If It Were Funded. Trudy is a longtime contributing editor to the Columbia Journalism Review. And what about you, Mary Agnes? What did you see this week that you thought was done well?
I saw a really interesting piece from Noam Levy at the LA Times, looking at these parallels between looking back to the creation of Medicare and Medicaid in 1965 and the Affordable Care Act, which we know has been through a lot of political wrangling and legal challenges, and sort of casting these parallels about how both Medicare and Medicaid at the time, you know, a lot of attacks against creation of the laws, a lot of concern about would you have enough doctors, would you have enough nursing homes, and so on, and he kind of took you through how Republicans and Democrats worked together to reshape those laws with the sort of thinking that now that the Affordable Care Act has survived, you know, several appeal votes on Capitol Hill, it's survived several Supreme Court challenges, that perhaps as it continues, that it might be shaped. There may be some kind of bipartisan movement to shape the law over time because it looks like it's here to stay. I just thought he did a great job with that.
All right. And so thank you for that. We covered Medicare earlier this week. And then, like I said, we had Trudy on talking about her cover piece, Wrong Prescription, The Failed Promise of the Affordable Care Act, which you can find at yourcallradio.org. And Mary Agnes Carey is a senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News. That's an editorially independent news organization of the Kaiser Family Foundation. And what about you, Roy? What did you see this week that you thought was done well?
Well, the story that impressed me the most, I was traveling, so I didn't read. I wasn't up to all my usual reading. What appeared in the Wall Street Journal, and I'm trying to find the names of the authors. It was just about a week ago, and the journal sent its reporters into Kurdistan. You know, the northern, Kurdistan regional government, which is North Iraq, and spent time with one or more of the volunteers. In the group that's an offshoot of the PKK, which is the Kurdistan Workers Party, which is a banned terrorist group, in one of their offshoots, and stayed with her for days, obviously, and got a real feel for who these people are, what their goals are, how they operate, and so on. I thought it was a great enterprise piece because we write about various Kurdish groups all the time, and especially the fighting groups, but we don't really know that much about who the people are and what motivates them. So I thought the journal did a really fine job, and I'll come up with the name a little bit later on in the program.
And so what did you learn from this piece? Who are these people?
Well, there's a lot of young Kurds who either volunteer because sometimes they have fights with their families, or in some cases they're drafted by the PKK or one of its offshoots. But in this case, I think the young woman was a volunteer, and they believe in the in Islam or the the major religions. They have a kind of a syncretistic view of different religions come together. They have a political ideology that is sort of neo-Marxist. They want a kind of a socialist state. They talk about a state without a hierarchy of leadership. Things that sound very utopian, hard to believe, but they believe them. And that alone helps one understand why this group is so elusive and out of the mainstream in terms of contemporary politics. But part of its power is, I think, in having a unique mixture of philosophy that borrows from here and there, and that is very different from the Arab states or from Turkey.
And Roy, I think I found the piece. Did she talk to a number of young women?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. There, I think three authors, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, and so it's called A Personal War: America's Marxist Allies Against ISIS by Matt Bradley and Joe Parkinson.
Yes, that was the one. I thought it was really a great read. Quite frankly, I wish they had stayed longer with the subjects and really spent time with them as they go off to the front, as they fight, as they do other things, because there's been very, very little shown about them in the mainstream media for years. And the media that's favorable to them gives a very one-sided view, and we really need independent reporters to go in there and come up with I hope, an unbiased perspective.
And we will put links to these stories at yourcallradio.org. That is Roy Gutman. He's an Istanbul-based correspondent for McClatchy Newspapers, where he covers Turkey and the Middle East.